time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 690 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is the return of another group of great comics creators, Matt Knowles and Steph Cannon from InSymmetry Creations. Matt and Steph have a Kickstarter coming soon for Tatsumi the Serpent Mistress No. 1, which is described this way. The last remaining daughter of a fallen empire is hell-bent on retribution and revenge. A swashbuckling high seas adventure. You can sign up now to be notified about the latest information regarding this crowdfunding project, which at this time is expected to launch on Sunday, May 25. Be sure to sign up once you finish listening to this episode. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what Steph and Matt have to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode. So let's get on with the show. Tatsumi the Serpent Mistress No. 1 is the start of a brand new comic series by Matt Knowles and Steph Cannon, alongside artist Alessandro Ventura and colorist Alan Emanuel. Utilizing their I Am Keto fantasy horror one-shot graphic novel as a prequel, this story arc will follow Tatsumi Nakahana, the last remaining daughter of the Yamarin Empire. And with me today to update us on all the good things that InSymmetry is up to, these are two of the busiest people in the comics industry, Steph Cannon and Matt Knowles. I always go ladies first. So how you doing, Steph?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Good, good. And Matt, how are you?
Doing good. Just been a whirlwind. This past week has been a whirlwind. The last couple of months have been wrong, but this week has been completely ludicrous.
I know. Just before we started to record, you guys were wrapping up some other or previous Kickstarter projects. So let's see. Who wants to update us? Matt, should you update us on what's going on?
Sure. So literally like a couple of minutes before we logged on, we just sent out the final campaign update for Heirs of Isildur, The Perilous Prospects, Book 4. Everything for that campaign, digital and physical, has now been sent out, domestic, international. It's been 3.5 days of insanity because Tuesday had to do the day trip all the way down and back to the printer, and then the last 2.5 days has been nothing but fulfilling, while still keeping all the other plates in the air. Just like for Misfits Clubhouse, all the shenanigans so far, that is the campaign that just most recently finished on Kickstarter, and we are now going to be able to focus completely on getting that project done and out for a June 2025 fulfillment. And then Tatsumi, that we're talking about right now, launches on May 20th. So yes, we are keeping all those plates spinning like crazy right now.
I always remember that on TV shows, they used to have plates on sticks and people would have to run. Once they start to wobble, you got to run up and spin it so it doesn't fall off.
Literally.
I know that feeling. I juggle a lot of part-time things as well. And boy, it's just an amazing amount of stuff. But okay, so why don't we jump into Tatsumi, the Serpent Mistress, and talk about that, because that's the one that the big one that's coming soon. There's other good things happening, of course, as always. This is your first lead female as far as this goes. You've usually had male characters, and of course there are females as well, but this time it focuses on a female character. Maybe Steph, maybe we talk with you about that. What's it like to do it, to make this shift?
Oh, it's so great. I love Tatsumi, and it wasn't that we were necessarily putting off doing that with a lead female character. It just felt so right with her when we were writing Keto and kind of deciding where that world was going to go. We just really were both drawn to her and her personality. And we said, you know what? It's beyond time to have like a lead female character, first of all. But also, this one feels like the right one because of her ideals and her personality and the way that this story has gone is it makes her a very, very strong female protagonist, which we're both very proud of.
I have to say that for me, if I have read male lead characters for decades, and I often have a very good idea where these male characters are going to go. But when you put a female lead in there, I don't know what's going to happen. So I like that. So this is with this story, I'm really, you know, fascinated to see what you guys have in mind for her, because your other stories are very well thought out and just engaging when you do it. So this one's going to be good. I'm just curious as to why she's called a serpent mistress. Maybe so Matt can fill that in.
So that's an interesting thing. So we will say this. We won't explain why she's called the serpent mistress right now, because it becomes very clear when you get into issue one of the series. We make absolutely sure that it's clear why she's called that. And you'll be able to see very clearly that we didn't like just go pull two random words and say, we hope this thing makes sense. It actually does play a part in the story, how she gets that name. And we're really happy about the fact that that it can be something that sounds so cool like that.
Okay.
That definitely gets explained in issue one for certain.
Mm-hmm. Where is this located? Is this like, this is a mystical, is this is in the Isildur universe, right?
It is, but it isn't, because it's, so Kido takes place in the Armored Empire, which is a universe where Kido is able to get pulled through a portal into the heirs of a Isildur world. So this is still taking place in that stuff on the other side of wherever is there on that portal. But Kido is truly the only connection between the two stories. There is no interaction between Tatsumi and anybody in the heirs world. Now, when you get into Heirs of Isildur, the Perilous Prospects 3 and 4, some of the lessons that Kido learned in his empire and with the Dark Conquestors and Soul Rippers, the lessons from that do come into play in Heirs 3, 4, and then in the finale 5 when that comes out. But this is all taking place there. But this is also more of an extension of it, because in I Am Kido, we saw the Yarmouth Empire was very much fictional Far East. In this one, we like to say it's a more swashbuckling story. It's a lot more Pirates of the Caribbean meets live action One Piece, because Tatsumi finds herself adrift literally and figuratively and runs into a pirate crew. And part of the fun of the story is going to be the way she interacts with them, because when I Am Kido was happening, Tatsumi had never seen anyone or anything outside of the Yarmouth Empire. The Yarmouth Empire was protected by the mountains and the mystical purple orchids. None of the people in the Yarmouth Empire had ever been outside of there. They had everything they needed inside. So her first exposure to anyone from outside of there was the Dark Conquestors and Soul Rippers coming in to eviscerate their kingdom. So it's been a fun character study to see how she interacts and meshes or doesn't mesh with this pirate crew.
Now, the campaign is going to fund a 32-page issue number one, and includes multiple covers, support merch, wearables, and limited edition collectibles. But I got to read this other paragraph that's on the Kickstarter page. She's pursuing a path of retribution and revenge against the evil horde that left her kingdom as nothing more than a trail of embers, ash, and corpses. The post-human, Dark Conquestor. How do you pronounce that? Conquestors?
Conquestor.
Conquestors. Okay, that makes more sense. And their vampire-like spirit-sucking accomplices, the Soul Rippers. Before she can do that, however, she must figure out her own path of survival in a world she didn't even know existed, aligning with the most unexpected of individuals in a swashbuckling high seas adventure. So that's on the page. If you go to Kickstarter and look up Tatsumi, Tatsumi, and I think the rest will come in for you if you do that. If you, once you do that, it'll give you the page and it'll show you the, including the interesting art. Tatsumi's wearing like a cowboy hat and she's got a sword and all kinds of good. Is she based on any real life person, Steph?
I wouldn't say any real life person, probably like a combination. I know that when we were concepting out the characters for Kido, which is where she first appears. We did look kind of like historically and fictionally and said, you know what, these aspects of these particular characters, but it wasn't anything major. She just kind of came about and came, you know, got a life of her own, really. And because we said, you know, we want her to be feminine still, but we want her to be strong and brave and sure of herself and able to take care of herself. Those were the main things that we wanted from her. And so I feel like there were tiny little parts of other fictional characters that we pulled from with her. But she really was an amalgamation of things that we were hoping to see with strong female characters that we may have not seen. I know Lord of the Rings is obviously a big example, especially in the later, you know, the last two movies, of character, female characters who were, you know, they were still feminine. They were still women, but they were able to hold their own. And that's what we wanted for Tatsumi.
Very cool. Now, it says on the page also, it says there's you're starting the process of revealing the characters in the story. Tatsumi, of course, is the first one, but the second one is the first member of the crew of the Corsair pirate ship, the Sidestalker, Admiral Derringer Ascot. Can you fill us in a little bit? And you can see a drawing of him out there. Who's that character?
So, Admiral Derringer Ascot, when we were putting this together, we wanted to make sure that we had a diverse, fun group of characters on the pirate ship. As we mentioned, Pirates of the Caribbean, One Piece, those are both pop culture movies and shows that are designed around pirates, but they're not designed around historical pirates in the sense that there are males and females among both of those crews. If you go back and look at most historical real world pirates, it was almost entirely and completely male based and the females, as one would have expected in that period of the world, the females were absolutely secondary to what was going on. That's not what we wanted at all for this. So while there are going to be people like Admiral Derringer Ascot, the next character we reveal is actually going to be a very fun female character that is going to be another part of the crew. The Sidestalker is going to play a large part in issue one and in the story. And so we wanted to make sure we had some fun characters to be assembled on there. You know, our stories always have a large ensemble cast, even though Ayers has got Michael at the forefront. Tales from Nocturnia has got Benenok the Executioner at the forefront. Obviously, Tatsumi's got Tatsumi at the forefront, but we wanted to make sure there was going to be a good, solid group of characters otherwise that were going to be involved as well.
It's going to be fun to read. I always enjoy the characters, the way you guys flesh them out and make them interesting. One thing it says on the Kickstarter page I like is the Sidestalker is a part-time merchant vessel. First thing I want to know is, why is it called the Sidestalker? And then I want to know what a part-time merchant vessel is.
Okay. Why is it called the Sidestalker? Because actually, it was just we wanted to have a cool name for the ship. And we went back and forth on a couple that didn't really work out. And this is some inside info here because it was just kind of funny. So I was actually at a soccer game refereeing, and they introduced one of the coaches for one of the teams. And I misheard their name. And I was like, did they just say that dude's last name is Sidestalker? I'm like, dude, that I literally, the first chance I had, when I had a break of the game, I messaged stuff. I'm like, I think I have the name for our ship. And I'm like, this can't be this guy's name. And I don't think it really was, but why am I, my brain heard Sidestalker? Now, granted, if that is the guy's last name, that's the coolest last name in the history of the world. But, you know, that's where it came from. And we thought that sounded like a good name for a pirate ship. And so why it's a part-time merchant vessel and then also part-time Corsair pirate ship. So even just this week, we didn't really even know what the term Corsair referred to, but Corsair is literally what this ship is. normally a pirate ship is something where they have no jurisdiction over them. They operate the way that they want. They're not in partnership with anyone. Our ship, a Corsair ship, is a quote-unquote pirate ship that operates within the confines of some governing body, a port, something like that. And our ship does have a port that it operates under. And within the story, doesn't mean it's going to be in the first issue, but within the story, we definitely explain that port and why the Side Stalker has some allegiance to a port. So sometimes they go out and they do their stuff above board. Sometimes they go out and they have a little more pirate activity to what they do. And it's up to you to figure out if they're going to be dealing with you on a up and up basis, or if they're going to be pulling the wool over your eyes while they're, trying to, it looks like they're negotiating to your face.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm always interested when people do ship stories, because a ship is a whole nother circumstance. I've read Christmas stories where they actually, like, the Ghost of Christmas Present goes to a ship out there, and they are celebrating Christmas on the ship. They're dancing and doing all kinds of stuff because they are by themselves for months at a time. So they develop their own little culture. Is that going to be true of this ship as well?
I would say the best way to say it is there's definitely an allegiance because of the fact that the Side Stalker crew is together. You definitely are going to see an allegiance, and it doesn't matter male, female, young, old, ethnicity, whatever it might be. You're going to see that there's definitely some allegiance that the group has to one another, whether on or off the ship.
Okay. And we'll find out how Tatsumi gets involved with the ship.
I think that that's a pretty fair thing to say, that yes, when the Kickstarter campaign comes out, we'll have the first few pages of issue one that are going to be on the campaign page. And one of the very last pages, you're going to see basically the introduction of Tatsumi to the crew. Doesn't really explain anything past that point, but you'll see a very quick introduction there. So the first issue basically, yes, does explain how them meeting happens and why. And without giving too much away, we're very happy with the way that the first issue has come out and is going to play out. We're really happy with the way the first issue plays out, for sure.
Very cool. And of course, the ship business will make it different from your other stories.
Very much. Very much.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Okay. And even there's definitely going to be some land-based scenes. I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean is not always on the ship. It's the ship and then the shore. Same thing with One Piece. They're on the ship, they're on the shore. But we've tried to make sure that even the environment where the ship is when they're on land is going to be different than you've seen with Ayers or with Nocturnia or with I Am Keto, simply because that's the kind of story we wanted to write. We wanted to write stuff that was going to be fun. Steph definitely has an affinity for pirate kind of stories. Yeah. I'm hopefully not putting any words in your mouth there, Steph.
No, I do. I absolutely do. It's no secret.
and when we were putting it together, I said to her specifically, I'm like, when we market this story, what is it that's going to make this fun for you in the marketing? And she's like, we need to make sure this is a swashbuckling story. And that was like very, very big to her, that if we're going to have this kind of pirate story, that has to be the theme. There has to be, we wanted to make sure that every issue has got, obviously it's going to move the overall story forward, but there had to be some set pieces, some swashbuckling, some action sequences. And we wanted to make sure that every issue was designed around a different type of action scene with each one. And we already know what's happening in issue one. We know where we're going in issue two. We're already partway through the art of issue two. We know where we're going in issue three. And we know beyond that point, we know in general where we want to go. But each issue is going to have its own basic type of set piece. Kind of like if you're watching a TV show, you're going to want there to be some kind of fun action sequence that's different than the previous episode when you watch it, or it's just going to feel like rinse and repeat. We didn't want that to be what happened with the Tatsumi, the Serpent Mistress story.
Very cool. I'm looking forward to that. Now, let's talk about the what seem to be the bad guys in this for a second. They're post-human, dark conquestors, I think I'm probably still pronouncing that wrong, and their vampire-like spirit-sucking accomplices, the Soul Rippers. Are they on another ship, or are they on dry land? What's the deal with them?
So, when we last see the Dark Conquestors and Soul Rippers, they were the force that comes in and basically wipes out everyone in the Yamarin Empire. When we end I Am Kido, when Kido gets pulled through a portal into the Heirs of a Sealed World, we told people that that's going to end Kido's time in that environment. We never said we were never going to go back there, which is we... If you get to the post-credit scene, so to speak, in Tatsumi, you see how she survived, where everyone else was either killed or turned post-human. So the best way to explain the Dark Conquestors and Soul Rippers are they are somewhat vampiric, somewhat zombie-like, and the Soul Rippers are almost parasitic in relationship to them. Imagine having a vampire... or a dark or vampire or a zombie, that the only way they could survive was this parasite type creature that was going to go out and get their food for them and filter out the things that the Dark Conquestors need to survive. So basically the Soul Rippers, they'll go and they'll attach to a human. They'll end up sucking the soul out of a human, and the Soul Ripper will basically filter out certain elements of that that the Soul Ripper needs to survive, and the other part is what the Dark Conquestor needs to survive. So once you become a Dark Conquestor, a post-human, the only way you can survive is to have a Soul Ripper present to go and vampirically remove the soul from a human being and then give you the pieces that you need to be able to survive yourself. So one can't survive without the other, but this horde is basically going from one end of the continent across looking for humans to be able to turn into their food source. So when we leave I Am Kido, the Yamarin Empire has been completely wiped off the map by these people, or by these post-humans. And Tatsumi's like, my entire goal is to get retribution and revenge on these Dark Conquestors and Soul Rippers, but there's no possible way I can do it on my own. I just watched my entire empire get wiped off the map, watched everyone either get killed, get turned into food for these Dark Conquestors and Soul Rippers, or they got turned into Dark Conquestors themselves. So she's like, while I know in my heart I have to go after them, I can't do it by myself. So as you can see on the campaign page, there's a couple different variations of Tatsumi, one of which she's just kind of got ripped clothes and all that. Tatsumi finds herself adrift, like we said, physically and metaphorically, because she just gets into a little fishing boat and sails out into the sea because she knows that there's nobody left where she is. And she needs to go see if there is other continents or other people. She's never left the Yamarin Empire. She just needs to go explore to see if she can go find people that could potentially join her in this fight against the Dark Conquestors and Soul Rippers. So when the story starts, that's where the Dark Conquestors and Soul Rippers are. They're where the Yamarin Empire is. Tatsumi's on a little fishing boat. And how she ends up meeting up with the crew of the Sidestalker will allow that to be shown on the page. And then through the pages of issue one, because how they meet and what brings them about, nobody's going to have any clue about that until they actually read the issue. That's one thing. We always like to try and keep certain aspects of the story under wraps because we feel like people need to know certain things to be able to be interested, but there's certain things that we're like, we don't want to spoil that aspect of the real deep part of it until they read the issue, because that's the part that's really going to get people are going to be really intrigued when they get to that point.
Sounds like they're mysterious. Are there a lot of these post-humans and Soul Rippers, or is there, we don't know. Is that what's going on?
We see a small handful, probably enough to fill a couple of school buses. But in what they are, that's all that's needed. Because if the Soul Rippers need, I mean, if the Dark Conquestors need to refill their ranks, instead of turning a person into food, they just turn them into another Soul Ripper. So that's why it's kind of like the vampire slash zombie thing. If a zombie bites you on the neck or vampire bites you on the neck, then you're going to turn into one of them. So if they need to refill their ranks, they just decide, well, we're going to turn some of these into food, and we're going to turn some of these into warriors to fight alongside us. So the one thing that Tatsumi knows is if her kingdom was able to get wiped out as quickly as it was by these Dark Conquestors and Soul Rippers, that no kingdom is safe. No one is safe while these people are able to just kind of run unfettered.
Wow. Okay. This is, I always expect well-developed stories, and that's, the villains are really even well-developed as far as the stuff goes. There's all this great stuff going on. Do you have any idea about how many issues you want this story to go?
So I'll answer this one again. I know that it's been me answering a couple in a row.
No, it's totally fine. Yeah, I'm just,
right now we anticipate this arc is probably going to be 5 issues. This is actually going to be done differently than typical In Synergy Creations projects. We knew in 2022, 2023 that we needed to be getting into making more traditional comic size stuff. I know when you talked to us on, you know, previous podcasts, we said we always wanted to be making spined books. We always wanted to be giving more content, like the Ayers book that we just fulfilled was a 44-page perfect bound book. Keto was an 80-page perfect bound book. But the way that the economy is, the way that the Kickstarter market is, the Kickstarter market is basically asking for more comic-sized issues per campaign. So these are all going to be 32-page at most comic issues, which has been interesting for us, especially for me, because to be like, we have to keep the page count to a certain thing, we can't expand on this or embellish this, that's how a lot of our other stories are. So like even yesterday, our artist was like, can we expand this thing out by one page? And we're like, well, we can't, because we're already up on the overall page count for this issue. We've already expanded this scene by a page, already expanded this other scene by a page. We don't have pages left because we've already trimmed and cut and negotiated as we went through. So we're really working hard to make sure that these issues are smaller, and smaller for us issues, 32 pages, so that we can more quickly get them out into the market, more quickly get to the quick Kickstarter campaign and keep the vibe and the flow going. Because you're going to get to the end of an issue and you're going to be like, well, where do we go from here? What's the next thing? We want to be able to get that out into people's hands as quickly as we can.
Okay. And Alessandro and Alan, are those the team, our team you guys usually work with?
Yes, for Heirs of Isildur right now, that's the team. For I Am Keto, that's the team. So seeing as how they already did I Am Keto and they absolutely crushed it there, we really wanted to make sure that we kept with that same team on this. Misfits Clubhouse is a completely different set. Misfits Clubhouse is Raheel Mohsen out of India, but the other three, Heirs, Keto, and Tatsumi, the Serpent Mistress, are all Alan and Alessandro. Now, the main image that you see on the Kickstarter page with Tatsumi with the pirate hat on with the blade, that image is from Chess and Gwen, the manga sister duo that is from Steph's town of Visalia, California. They have their own series, The Bohemian Trials, but they have now done 6 or 7 variant covers for us. They actually are the ones that did the cover for I Am Keto, the main cover, and that image that you see on the main cover, or the main image for the Kickstarter campaign, is also going to be a variant cover for Tatsumi the Serpent Mistress as well.
Very cool, very cool. Now, as far as like, you've been talking about fulfillment of 2 other things. Before we get to that, do you know, have an idea when you expect the first issue to be ready to be sent out to the people who support the Kickstarter?
For Tatsumi? Yeah. So the campaign is going to run, it's going to start on May 20th. And we, fully expect to have that issue out and in people's hands before we go to our normal August conventions. We absolutely expect that when we go to, say, GeekedCon in Shreveport, Louisiana at the end of August, we fully expect that we're going to have Heirs of Isildur under the Perilous Prospects 4, Misfits Clubhouse, all the shenanigans so far, and Tatsumi Issue 1. We expect to have all three of those in our hands for that show. Isn't that right, Steph? Do you agree? Are we going to have those for GeekedCon?
Absolutely we are. 100%.
All right. Sounds good. Well, yeah. It sounds like a really great story. And you guys keep fleshing out the universes, I guess I should say, that are part of the creations that you make. This really is going to be something with lots of good adventure and lots of good storytelling going on. You mentioned the other ones that you guys have been fulfilling. Do you want to catch us up on those, Misfits Clubhouse and the other ones? Why don't you tell us what's going on with those?
Well, for Heirs, Perilous Prospects 4, we have been spending all of this week fulfilling that campaign. So we are excited to say, as of this recording, we have sent out most of the packages. The one that we haven't sent out are the ones where they haven't filled out their surveys. We don't have the proper address for them. Otherwise, anyone that has backed and supported Heirs of Isildur, Perilous Prospects 4, should have their stuff either if they backed digitally, they should have the PDF or PDFs, plural, in their inbox now, or if they ordered a physical package, it is en route to them currently. Matt and I spent the last three days, and part of today getting those packages ready and getting them out. So feels really good because we said April was going to be the fulfillment date and we were able to get that done. It was actually one of the smoothest, easiest fulfillments that we've done for a campaign so far. Everyone should be able to be enjoying that issue and that story and all the extras that they got very, very soon, if not already.
Because you guys, this is about your 13th Kickstarter, Tatsumi's
actually going to be our 15th.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Tatsumi will be our 15th, and then we had two others that we project managed. So overall, it'll be our 17th that we've run or project managed. And then Misfits Clubhouse, all the shenanigans so far was supposed to come out by different means. There was release dates for it in late 2023. There was a couple in 2024. We pulled the rights back to it and decided we're going to do it on our own. And the original version was going to have 80 pages in it. And now it's actually at 100 pages. We added some new content, some more content that wasn't going to be in the original release. Got a great new cover from Raheel Mohsen. Got a great new Mario Kart homage from Emily Reset. The merchandise for that one is some of our favorite merchandise we've ever done. We did some new socks for for Slothy and Fairy, looking like they're in a rap group. We did some Peace, Love, and Slothiness tie-dye merch for Slothy. I got tie-dye shirts and tie-dye socks for him. So we're super stoked with that one. We hope to have out middle of May. There's not a whole lot to do on it because it was basically done previously, but there is some stuff that we recolored, some things that we relettered, and adding in the additional content. So there's just a few little things here and there. We still have to send out the Kickstarter surveys for that one, but Steph and I wanted to get to a point that we were done with the Heirs fulfillment before we started to do surveys for that campaign, because we log every single thing that happens. Every person that backs a campaign gets logged onto us, a Google Sheet for us. Every person that sends their survey through, we log that. And to be logging and working with the back-end spreadsheets for these at the same time. We didn't want to have surveys for Heirs and surveys for Misfits coming in at the same time, so we probably both would have had brain matter oozing out of our ears and steam coming off of our heads, because there's only so much you can do at one time.
right. Well, you got three Kickstarters going on basically at the same time, so you guys are getting good at this.
We're trying.
So this is where all these. So Tatsumi's going to consume you guys for a little while and stuff like that. Are there other projects that you guys are working on that we should be aware of?
Well, the first thing that after Tatsumi 1 is going to be Heirs of Isildur to the Perilous Prospects 5, the finale. So the finale for Heirs of the Perilous Prospects is going to happen right after Tatsumi issue 1. Tatsumi issue 2 is going to happen after that, which is going to be super fun. But I think the main stuff otherwise is we've got, well, right now, oddly enough, right now we actually are on Kickstarter in another way as we speak. Holiday Spirits Christmas in July. The comic issues for that have never been put onto Kickstarter, and they're doing a graphic novel version of that. Orange Cone Productions is. So if you liked our story about It's Not an Easy Life Being Krampus, the full collected graphic novel version of that is on Kickstarter right now through like April 10th, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong there. And then we've got a couple of anthologies that we're going to be a part of. I don't know how much we're able to talk about them, but just know that we've got 2-3 other anthologies that we are going to be a part of as well. So that's the other things that's on our plate from a title perspective, other than Heirs, Misfits Clubhouse, and Tatsumi the Serpent Mistress.
Wow, you guys are busy, I'll tell you, putting stuff out. Let's talk about, you mentioned conventions. Can you give us an update as to which conventions you guys are planning to hit in 2025?
Ooh, there's a lot.
you want to hit next week stuff? You can hit both of those.
Yeah, I guess it is next week. Oh my goodness. Okay, so Free Comic Book Day is coming up, and we do, this is probably our, I have lost count, it's probably our fifth or fourth time in a row that Matt and I have done our Coast to Coast Free Comic Book Day. It might even be more than that at this point. But he is going to be doing Free Comic Book Day at his LCS, local comic shop, in Ocala, Florida, Bearded Brown Coat. And I will be doing mine at my LCS in Visalia, California, Collector's Choice. So we are going to be participating in that. That's the first Saturday in May. I believe it's May 3rd.
Yep.
So that is our next event that we can talk about and are excited about. We do it every year. Both of our local comic shops are amazing to us and always support us incredibly. And the people that come out and see us every single time is always amazing. So we're really excited about that. And then, Matt, I think you've got a couple of appearances locally
The one thing about those Free Comic Book Days is they both are going to also act as the release parties for Perilous Prospects 4. So since we've got everything shipped out to our backers, Steph is going to have some of the covers there with her. And then I'm going to have some of the covers with me. And also Bearded Bronco has a store variant cover that's going to debut as well. I've got Late Collecticon first weekend in June. We've got GeekedCon in Shreveport, Louisiana, in August. Ocala Comic Con is in September. We've got the October Spookala Horror Pop Culture Fest in Tampa, Florida in October. We also just got announced for PalmCon Treasure Coast in Port St. Lucie, Florida in November. And there's going to be a bunch of others. There's a bunch of others that are still on the docket. And we even got some stuff into 2026, but we still have some other things. C4Con, which is a library show in September. We definitely have some other things that are going to be coming up as well. So yeah, we are definitely spinning a lot of plates, but that we wouldn't have it any other way, because that's what we want to do, is be creating and getting our stories out there and being involved with people in the scene, whether it's, you know, people that are supporters of ours when it comes to our titles, our metal music, or people that are there to see us do the interviews and the panel hosting or running our own panels at different conventions.
All right. Well, that's great. Lots to do, I'll tell you. If people want to follow you guys on social media or the website, how do they do that?
Easiest thing to do, go to linktree.com/ In Symmetry Creations, INSYMMETRY Creations. That's got links to everything, all our campaigns. You can even still late pledge to Misfits Clubhouse if you missed out on that one. The link is there. It's got our Substack newsletter, which is the Blog of Destiny. You can get to our Substack there as well. InSymmetryCreations.com is the main website. And even just today, we did some major updates to the website, getting some more content up there as well that wasn't as blatantly linked on the website as much as it should be. But that's where you want to go. You can go to linktree.com/InSymmetryCreations, InSymmetryCreations.com. And then if you're like, dude, this Tatsumi sounds great, I want to go, be a part of that, you could go to tinyurl.com/Tatsumi, TATSUMI, TSM for the Serpent Mistress. So Tatsumi TSM will get you there through a tinier link.
All right. Wow. You guys are like a tornado going through stuff.
Oh, we comics really tornado. Are.
Getting stuff done, making all this good stuff happen, which is great. But it's always great to do it. And I enjoy the website, of course, the music and stuff like that is fun on the InSymmetry Creations website as well. So, man, all I can say is I hope you guys can continue to do this for quite a long time because it's great fun for those of us who get to enjoy the content you make. So, you guys, please just keep it up.
We hope so. As long as people want to read and experience our stories, we are going to keep doing this because we love it and it's crazy and chaotic, but we wouldn't do it if we didn't absolutely enjoy every aspect of it. So thank you to everyone who supports us. Thank you, Wayne, for having us on again, because you always ask amazing questions and we always love coming on your show.
And you know what? You keep at it as well, because you definitely are one of the best when it comes to asking intelligent questions that delve deeply into the stories. And I know that people really appreciate it when someone is going to ask questions that are not just at surface level. So you keep on going too, man. What do you have coming up?
Seriously.
What do you have coming up, Wayne?
Yeah.
I've got episodes every week, so just keep coming back for that. So once again, thanks you guys. It's always fun to talk with you, and just I'm glad it's a big success.
Thank you so much.
If you're enjoying this show, I would greatly appreciate your support. For $5 a month, you can ensure I'm able to bring you interviews with comic creators week after week. You can support this show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Check out that address, again, patreon.com/majorspoilers, for more information. Thanks in advance. That's it for this episode. Be back next time. I'll have another great interview with an excellent comics creator, something I'm sure you won't want to miss. But until then, keep reading your comics.